Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ was a perfect blood sacrifice for every human being. And God expects us to remember what our Savior went through. It was truly an agonizing end to Jesus Christ's 33 and a half year human life. Notice Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at you, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Christ was beaten and torn apart beyond human recognition. It says more than any man. You couldn't even recognize him as a human being anymore after what he suffered at the hands of those brutal Roman soldiers. But ultimately, it was not just the Roman soldiers or the Jewish people or any group of people who did this to Christ. It was all of us, each of us, you individually, me. We are all Christ murderers. That is the hard reality. We did this. We beat and scourged Christ. Whenever we commit physical sins, breaking the health laws, making ourselves sick, destroying our health, that required the scourging of Christ, where he was whipped with shards of wood and bone and metal embedded in those whips, tearing out his flesh. And whenever Christ was speared in the side, his blood running out during that horrifying crucifixion, that is us too. That is us killing Christ with our spiritual sins, breaking the Ten Commandments, defying God's law of love, falling short and serving the self instead of serving God. Each one of us has sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. That is the truth. That is something we all must face. Even those who deny the very existence of God one day will have to face this reality. All humans will have to come to this realization that we killed our own creator. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 says this, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." We might think, wow, that was just an unimaginably horrific outcome for Christ. Glad I don't have to do that. And that's true. That should maybe give us some perspective on our own trials and maybe help us see it's not quite as bad as it could be. But at the same time, Christ is our example. We are supposed to follow the kind of life he lived. That is a very challenging task. But at some point, every human will be given that opportunity to live the way that Christ lived, walking the tightrope of perfection, agonizing in prayer and in every decision to remain perfect. What an example. It continues here, 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Wow. That is our example. That is the standard we're expected to try to live up to. That is impossible for us without God's help. But that is what God expects, for us to look to him for help, to where we come to the point where we are also without sin. And we are able to bear affliction and persecution without trying to get revenge, without hating the people who mistreat us. That's really one of the most impressive parts of what Christ went through. When Christ was just being torn apart and tortured and hanging up there on the stake, nails through his hands and feet, dehydrated, his body just marred beyond recognition, Christ actually said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ did not seek vengeance in that moment. He didn't let weakness and choice words spill out of his mouth in that moment of peak trial. He really was a Passover lamb. He really was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as it says in Isaiah 53. And this is just some lovely poetry, a really sobering description of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, in Isaiah 53. It says, starting in verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Basically, this is saying that Christ didn't really stand out in a crowd. He didn't look dramatically different from all the everyday Jews around him. So that ought to make us wonder about the depiction of him that many people use, of him being pale and wispy and long-haired. Probably that is more of an effeminate portrayal. Christ was rugged. Christ was strong. He was a carpenter. He didn't have long hair. Christ divested himself of all his spirit power and glory. He was the Word, living forever with God. And yet, he gave it all up to become a human and die for your sins, for my sins. If Christ really stood out in a crowd, if it was overwhelmingly obvious at all times that something was different about him, well, he would have certainly had a lot more followers, people who were actually willing to obey, and yet most of them did not. And Christ obviously did do many outstanding miracles. He did preach a memorable message about the coming kingdom of God. But most people would hear that, enjoy the miracle, feed themselves on the fishes and the loaves, and then go their own way, not having anything in their lives change at all. Christ did not stand out in a crowd, at least not physically. Certainly he was outstanding spiritually. Isaiah 53 continues, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Mr. Gerald Fleury just recently gave a Key of David television program about the sacrifice of Christ. And he did focus a lot on this overlooked aspect of that sacrifice, how Christ was also beaten, given stripes with those whips and the scourging for our healing, God's healing promise. God wants us to be healed. There's a specific way for us to be healed of physical affliction, anything wrong with our bodies. And this sacrifice of Christ, the suffering before his death, is proof that God wants us all to be healed. It's just a matter of his perfect timing. It's a matter of our faith in that sacrifice and our obedience to the health laws, really repenting of the physical sins committed. And there is a real process to go through to make sure that we meet the conditions for healing. But even taking the big picture view, our ultimate potential is to have a spirit life, not be composed of flesh and blood anymore. And at that time, there will be no such thing as sickness or injury, no disease, no bodily breakdown, wear and tear, no tiredness, no need to sleep at all, because we will be God's. Psalm 82, verse 6. Now, we all die. Every human being is guaranteed at least one death, hopefully only one death. But we don't want that longer, permanent second death. God says if we obey him, if we commit our lives to him when we are called, whatever time that may be, we can obtain eternal life at the end of this physical life. And that is a life that transcends the physical limitations of our bodies. We won't have to worry about sickness and disease anymore. That is the ultimate healing. This healing promise is real in that big picture way, but even in this life, we can be miraculously healed. I've seen dozens, if not hundreds, of examples of people who were afflicted and practically overnight, when crying out to God for healing and being anointed, going through the process in James chapter 5 to receive healing, were healed. It is a real promise from God. And it's all possible because of the stripes of Christ. God says it. Do we believe it? Or do we trust in humans to try to heal us? Continuing here in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Eternal has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Christ died, was buried among the rich and the poor, the so-called good and the evil. When we die, we all go to the same place. But Christ truly did not deserve to die. He truly was a victim in every way. He had the power at any moment of this sacrifice to call down a legion of angels to release him from that suffering, perhaps even striking dead all the soldiers who were ridiculing and torturing him. At any moment, Christ could have called it all off and said, you know what? I'm a God. I'm not going through this for these ungrateful humans, these specks of dust that I formed with my own hands. But just think about the vision that Christ had, wanting us to have a chance at eternal life, becoming gods just like him and the Father. And so he endured it all. He went through with that suffering and that terrible death for us. For you personally, he would have done it. And so how should that change our thinking? How should that change the way that we live? Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury has a free booklet at thetrumpet.com titled How to Be an Overcomer. Chapter 4 of How to Be an Overcomer is the meaning of Passover. Passover is our annual memorial of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, the love sacrifice of our Savior, our Passover lamb. Now, only baptized members of God's one true church should partake in the Passover ceremony. It is the most somber occasion of the year, and you do need to go through the proper channels to make sure that you are supposed to keep the Passover and where to do it and how to do it. But even if you are not supposed to be keeping the Passover at this time, you can still really reflect deeply on the sacrifice of Christ, the heavy price paid for our sins. Mr. Fleury says here in How to Be an Overcomer, Chapter 4, think about this for a moment. The creator of the universe, of the angels and of man, came to this earth. He did not sin. He did not have to repent because he did not sin. He came here as God in the flesh to die for your sins and mine. The creator of everything did that for us. That is what the Passover is all about. Christ, our Passover, was brutally beaten and murdered to pay for our sins. That is what it takes to pay for your sins. Think about that price. Without it, none of us has any future. That is what it takes to redeem us from eternal death. The wages of sin, the price we are paid for sin, is eternal death, Romans 6, verse 23. But Christ paid that penalty for all of us. Why? What does God expect in return? Well, we have to really think about God's perspective on sin. Sin is to blame for that terrible, terrible outcome for Christ, his suffering and death, his scourging and crucifixion. Just think about that logically. If any of us had someone we love killed because of drunk driving or a drive-by shooting or a drug overdose, whatever sin or evil you could think of, would you have a casual attitude toward that evil? Would you say, oh yeah, go ahead. I don't really care if people continue to engage in drunk driving or drugs. No, you would passionately hate that evil. And that's the way God is. He hates sin. He is not okay with people continuing to live a life of sin. It killed his own son, his own eternal companion, his best friend. So going forward, we ought to make every effort with God's help to completely eliminate sin from our lives. At Passover, the focus is on Christ, what he suffered. And we have to make sure that we've really repented of our sins before taking the Passover, engaging in that ceremony, participating in that ceremony, partaking in the symbols. But then the focus is on Christ. It's not on beating ourselves up over the sins we've committed. We repent thoroughly. We pledge to God we will do everything it takes, whatever is necessary, to keep sin out moving forward. And then at the Passover, we focus on Christ. But Mr. Fleury has said we need to focus more on Christ in general, every day. The sacrifice of Christ, the Passover lamb, what he went through, so that we are inspired to change. We can't just make casual, passive decisions, falling into an endless compromise loop and just saying, well, this really important priority can be put off until later. Oh, I can make that change tomorrow instead. I'll do whatever I want now. I'll indulge in gratification and sin now and change later. No, we have to really agonize over every decision in terms of making sure it lines up with God's law. Christ sweat blood in prayer to avoid sin. We need to exert that kind of effort and take it very seriously. Every decision matters. The next decision could be the right one or the wrong one. In everyday life, what we think about, what we spend our time on, what we do, how we interact with God and with other people, the attitude we have, if we're willing to obey, or if we're stubborn and rebellious. These are all decisions that we have to make. And we have to follow the example of Christ in making those decisions. Focus on that Passover lamb, the price that was paid for us. Remember this verse. Everyone seems to know this verse, but do we really think deeply about it? John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, again, it's more than just thinking about that sacrifice. We have to let it change our lives. If we really believe in Christ as our Savior, we are also obligated to follow his example. Remember 1 Peter 2, verse 21. So this really is a sobering time of year as we eliminate sin, as we repent, as we focus on the sacrifice of Christ, as we focus on Christ, our Passover lamb. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.